Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Royalty. Royalty. Royalty to all. Thank you guys for tuning in to another podcast of Enhanced Awareness Radio, guys. I am your host, Haru, the Seven Oracle. And today we're going to do something very interesting today, guys. We're going to be talking about The Truman Show. The show is originally titled, you know, Do We Have Selective Hearing in Things That Really Do Matter? So I think it's funny and ironic how this is all coming together because guys, do we really pay attention? You know, I think that this podcast is about paying attention. You know what I mean? Do we really pay attention? I encourage everybody to go back and watch The Truman Show. You know what I'm saying? I watched a little bit of it last night, and I watched a little bit of it last night, or mock of it, you should say, but I just love how this podcast is coming together, so that is all I'm going to say about that. But guys, there's going to be about 3 minutes of silence, so give me about 3 minutes of silence, and then I'll be back to start the podcast.
Type on this hear thoughts. You can hear all of the thoughts. Almost can hear all of the thoughts. That's why I said, I posted that somewhere said, I went to my brother Weston to see what I posted. Then I put a picture of my tomato garden and said, I'm harvesting my garden. So you're in tune. It's not that you know everything. It's that you are part of it. Because you're still learning. Being part of it. Even though energy is a part of itself, it's still learning itself. Energy is constantly learning itself. Because we are perfectly imperfect. Nobody's perfect. Nobody. So yes, there'll be brothers and sisters. There are brothers and sisters out there who want me dead. Who want me to have nothing. Who want me to be taken down. Their brothers and sisters out there. And I hear their prayers. I hear their thoughts. Because when you type on this, these devices, whether it's a regular computer or you're using your cell phone, you leave an imprint on your cellular structure, and that energy is an energy that's being put into the internal networking system. And anyone who's wide awake and in tune can tap into those energies and see just what type of people you're dealing with. I don't brag about who I am. I know who I am. Alright? In the beginning was carbon energy. And the dark energy is so dark and light and not shine within it. Dark energy is so dark that it will literally absorb light. And that dark energy is God, the generator, the operator, the destroyer. Generates energy that operates, it destroys, and it rebuilds. That's the whole point of God. God is the Son of the Most High. The Most High, they don't even know what the Most High is. I tell everybody, Most High is the cosmos. It's not the highest energy ever. It's high as the cosmos. They don't understand the concept. They don't understand the science behind the spirituality of life. It's the science of life. So this dark energy, alright, which is a frequency. It's literally a frequency. God is a frequency. God is the energy. And this frequency goes within itself and creates a dark vibration. It's a dark frequency that creates a dark vibration. And that dark vibration creates a dark energy. The frequencies and vibrations create energies. But first, the frequency must exist. Frequency begin to go within itself and create a vibration, and that vibration listen to the frequency that created it, and therefore they created energy. And energies, so the frequencies, because the frequency goes to itself and multiplies itself to create more frequencies, and these other frequencies create other vibrations. Other vibrations create other energies. There are multiple energies out there in cosmos. There's so many energies out there in the cosmos. There's no material number that can actually describe the amount of frequencies and vibrations and energies out in the cosmos. So you have masculine frequency and feminine frequency, which creates a masculine vibration and a feminine vibration. And those masculine frequencies. Masculine frequency links into the masculine vibration. The masculine feminine frequency links into the feminine vibration. And those two come together creates a masculine energy and feminine energy. These are the physical signs of life. And from those frequencies and the vibrations create all these different energies. These energies become to mingle with each other. And what happens? The energies fall within themselves. And you have the masculine energy sacred, the feminine energy. You create matter, therefore, the dark frequencies linked to the dark vibrations that create the dark energy. Those dark energies create dark matter. Okay? There's a dark matter. You have a feminine dark matter and a masculine dark matter. And these dark matters mingle with each other. These dark matter creates light. Because the frequencies and the vibrations are moving so high and so powerful that it begins to illuminate. Out of the darkness comes the light. Darkness is the light of the world. It is one. God is a frequency and not a being who is a double physical set of bars of jealous God. There is no energy that's jealous. There's no energy that wants to be, wants someone to be a part of it. Energy is energy. Like I said, there are brothers and sisters out there who are so deep into religion that they listen to the book of these sections and their counterparts created that they don't understand science. Religion destroys science. Why? Because these sections cannot literally absorb the concept of science because they were created out of balance. Now you have frequencies and vibrations, and these frequencies and vibrations creating energies. And these energies are creating matter, and this matter creates life. Across the cosmos, we'll say, yeah, in these colossal beings are so big that biggest man can fit on the tip of their finger. The cosmos herself, the dark matter, the dark energy, the frequencies and the vibrations created itself into the form of a vessel that can literally create multiple galaxies, multiple universes, all at the same time, because it is within itself. Within itself, and therefore it being within itself, it creates more life. This is what you call chaos. This is the science of life. So you say, oh, you know, this year, everything was created in 7 days. You're reading something that some of these beings don't understand the concept of their own, the science of their own bodies. They don't even understand the concept of their own bodies. They created stories, and you believe in that. Instead of understanding science, like I said, there are brothers and sisters out there who want me dead, who want me to be guided, and I hear their thoughts speak. When you walk into a store, and you open a door, you literally leave the imprint of your atomic structure on that door because that door is made of multiple atoms. Therefore, your atomic structure has been stored into that door. If you go and open that door several times, and a certain amount of whatever day you come, you feel the energy coming from that door. Every now and then, I get a zip. It happens. Oh yeah, because your energy has been stored into the science of life. You lay on your bed. You say it's so comfortable laying on this bed because you made that so many times. The imprint of your tongue, your atoms, have been stored into the atoms of the sheet. Or the blanket, the imprint. You have a loved one and you love that person and you make love with that person. You literally leave an imprint of your stomach structure on the other person. Yes. they call love, but what they call love is nothing but an energy, two energies that come together to have bonded with each other. Signs of life. So I'm beginning with dark frequency. These dark frequencies created dark vibrations. And the dark vibrations and the dark frequencies created dark energies. The dark energies created dark matter. There's no God or Jesus or Jehovah or Allah. There's only frequencies and vibrations. And like I said, brothers and sisters, you want to fight. I want to see all your Bible verses come quote scriptures that are meaningless. And they possess no power because the power is within them. That's why we talk about people being created and meditating. Within yourself, just that frequency, that vibration, that frequency go within yourself. You are a frequency alone. And you, which is that spirit, which is that frequency, goes within yourself in meditation so that you can vibrate higher. So you see everything evolving, everything constantly evolving. It's everything controls your global warming, and it's how to control the energy of life. They're trying to control them because they want to exist. Why? Because they cannot evolve. Because they were not created with the balance of energy and dark matter. They're laboratory beings. The beings created in the laboratory from different, from the energies of different vessels. So they're unbalanced. Anything that's unbalanced cannot evolve. What happens? That energy must leave those vessels and return back to source. The science of life. So like I said, all y'all brothers and sisters who are deep into this Bible, you have no idea what you're reading. You have no idea what you're doing. It was you who against me. You have no idea. Because if I want to, I can send those frequencies back to you. And everything that you wish against me will begin to happen to you. Think about it. So I say darkness comes as light. Because darkness is the light of the world. And therefore, all these energies and frequencies and vibrations, multiple, and millions and zillions. Oh my goodness. It's beyond the comprehension of what you could ever imagine. There's no number to identify the amount of frequencies and vibrations that flowing through our planet, each planetary body, there's no number that can be given to amount to the frequencies of vibration, and all these frequencies of vibration are coming together and creating life. You have, we have dark energy, we have dark matter, we have dark plasma, you have regular plasma, you have dark frequencies. Dark vibrations, regular light frequencies, and light vibrations. You know what I mean? You have ether, you have golden ether, and silver ether, and carbon ether, and copper ether, and platinum ether. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So all of these frequencies and vibrations, and the matter, the dark matter, creates multiple different types of energies. They create multiple types of energies, and these energies are literally creating new energies. That's why the sacrifices of the species are we've never seen before. Why? Because it was manifested through energies, because energy is life. Now, what you call God is a master frequency. It's a who wrote a book for story purposes. Tall tales, folklore. But you take it as reality. And because you have tapped into that unbalanced frequency, you are now unbalanced, brother or sister. When you're supposed to be balanced into the energy of life,
Right.
vibrations can create energies. And then, guess what? It goes within itself and it destroys the energy that was once there and generates a new energy. Here's what you have to see.
Thank you. to you now from the largest studio ever constructed. It's the Truman Show.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, and in case I don't see you. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Morning, Professor. How's it going?
What have you watched every moment of your life? How many cameras you got there in that town?
5,000.
I believe Truman is the first child to have been legally adopted by a corporation.
That's correct.
Brilliant. What if everyone you knew was pretending?
Hi, honey. Look what I got you to check out. Dishwasher safe.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
What if your world was make-believe?
Chinggis, honey. While the world he inhabits is the counterfeit.
I'd love to talk to you.
No, I look. Type. There's nothing fake about Truman himself.
What if you didn't know it? Until now.
A lot of strange things have been happening in my ring cam.
Is he looking at us?
Do you think he knows?
They've admitted up in something big.
We accept the reality with which we're presented.
Everybody's pretending to be here. Truman.
On the clock.
This has meaning is by diving into the story. The film begins with a monologue from Christophs, who sets up the main premise of the movie. Truman is the unwitting star of a reality TV show centered around his life. Truman, a child abandoned at birth, has been brought up to believe that he is a normal guy living in the idyllic town of Sea Haven Island. However, Truman's entire world is a lie. All the people he knows, including his mother, his best friend, and his wife, are all paid actors. Sea Haven Island is also fake, and is in reality just a huge set enclosed by a massive dome. This gives Christophe, the director of the Truman Show, almost complete control over Truman's world. This ranges from the ability to control the weather, to the day-night cycle, and even the stars in the sky. Truman's every moment is broadcast around the world, with extra funding from the show coming from product placements. From the start of the film, we see a camera implanted in Truman's bathroom mirror, where Truman is pretending to be an explorer whilst getting ready for work. It's as though this is just another regular day for Truman, with him saying hello to his neighbors, making a coffee, and getting into his car. But just as he's getting into his car, a stage light drops from the sky, rising to the road outside of his house. Truman then walks over to inspect the light, and sees that it says Sirius on it, referring to the brightest star in the night sky. But eerily, on his drive to work, the radio starts to run a story about a plane wreckage falling from the sky in order to explain the light.
Here's a newsflash just then. An aircraft in trouble began shedding parts as it flew over Sea Haven just a few moments ago.
It then starts to talk about the dangers of flying, which is one of the first of many subtle ways that Christophe tries to influence Truman into staying on the island through fear. He's being subconsciously controlled by the radio. This subconscious manipulation then continues throughout the film. Like when Truman is asked by his boss to deal with something that will require a boat trip. By doing this, the boss is setting up Truman's aquaphobia, as we see he's unable to even get in the boat. A phobia that later reveals could be another subconscious manipulation of Truman. This whole day feels very strange for Truman, so he hurriedly comes back to his wife Meryl, who then conspicuously shows off her new kitchen tool that she bought at the store, showing it off almost like she's advertising it.
The Dicer Grater Peeler All-in-One. You never need sharpening, dishwasher safe.
Truman becomes suspicious, and when out with his best friend Marlon, Truman's behavior starts to be off, and he brings up his desire to leave and go to Fiji. Marlon catches that Truman is starting to wake up, so he quickly shoots down the idea. He doesn't want Truman escaping. That would break the whole game. In the next scene, we see Truman go off to spend some time on the beach, where he remembers the tragic boat accident that seemingly killed his father and gave him his aquaphobia. Christophe then even heightens Truman's misery by adding a specific path of rain to follow Truman. And with Truman's breakdown growing, we see the audience's engrossed reactions. It's all these early scenes that serve to illustrate that the fictional Truman Show can only function when Truman buys into this false reality. The Truman Show, therefore, has to make sure that Truman can't escape his cage, or even see that he's in a cage. If he knows that he's in a cage, the whole game collapses. The ways the crystal keeps Truman deluded are the most striking aspects of the allegory. The most obvious and egregious of these is how Truman is kept complacent by exploiting his deepest fears. For example, Truman's aquaphobia works perfectly to keep Truman on the island. Crystal even risks Truman overcoming this fear when he sends Truman to unsuccessfully board the boat. The fact that Truman can't overcome his phobia only reinforces this. Truman is also constantly barraged by propaganda and subliminal messages to induce the fear of flying. There are constant reminders of the dangers of flying. It takes this rampant fear mongering to keep Truman's delusion alive. However, this time the propaganda starts to weaken. Truman still fantasizes about taking a flight to Fiji. His aquaphobia is still strong, but it's revealed that this is most likely because it originates from the unjust guilt over Truman's father's death. But it's not just the fear that influences Truman. The control that Christoph has over his world is total. Everything Truman takes in on a daily basis is designed with a secret purpose. The TV he watches reinforces the message. The media always has headlines directly promoting whatever they want Truman to believe. Even the people that Truman talks to on a daily basis about the same canned lines and positive affirmation. Propaganda is seeping into every aspect of Truman's life and society.
Oh, good.
A lot like its infiltration of our society. Just like Truman, we're always bombarded with propaganda just to keep us complacently unaware of the delusions of modern ideology. Every day, society tells us who we are, what we ought to do, and who our enemies are. Just like Truman, we're encouraged to ignore the clues that we're living in a lie, but we're made to still become wages in the matrix. And then everyone who buys into this societal delusion helps perpetuate it. A lot of well-meaning, rational people are swept up to become mouthpieces of a failing system. The cracks are present in both reality and fiction. They just exist solely on the personal level for Truman, rather than the societal level that we're starting to see. But what is the society-wide delusion? Well, in the Truman Show, it's obvious and visual. It's the premise of the movie. The Truman Show is a reality show. But how does this translate into our real world? Well, this is very yet interesting. The habitus is a tool used by sociologists for describing the ways in which a society's culture functions. Society rests upon an enormous amount of unset rules and expectations. These are often performed without thinking about them. It's more like a learned skill than a conscious decision. Bourdieu, the French intellectual who brought the term to prominence, often compared it to sports. People tend to know the rules of the game. For example, it's generally accepted that when you're finished at the supermarket, you return your shopping cart. There's no personal reward or egotistic incentive. It's just a learned, polite expectation. In the context of the supermarket, though, it's very important. The whole system would collapse without it. Some abstracts of the habitus are nearly invisible because they seem so natural to us. Even your taste in music or food are influenced by the habitus. This is because the cultural expectations of the habitus instills go so deep. They're established from the moment you're born, reinforced throughout your childhood by your family, and then further built upon by your education and work. This then makes the habitus a self-perpetuating structure. Those brought up in certain habitus will nurture in specific values in their children, for example, making sure the cycle continues. The Truman Show gives a literal picture of what a habitus can look like. We can see all the actors in the fictional Truman Show as being sucked into this. The actors act in certain learned ways in order to perpetuate the essence of the Truman Show. Now, the key difference between fiction and reality is being sensitive. Literally, the actors in the fictional Truman Show are being paid to play their parts. But in the real world, people play their parts in the habitus because the habitus itself has conditioned them into it. Everyone is one of the actors. Everyone makes the delusion real. And what the Truman Show goes on to tell us is that when the habitus has been altered into something too detached from an authentic society, cracks start to show, when lies start to perpetuate, when the ego gets in the way, when power corrupts, the habitus starts to break. And this ripples throughout entire civilizations. See, throughout the movie's progression, we see Truman gradually wake up to the delusion that has consumed his life, which inevitably causes a breakdown of the entire habitus. The further Truman moves towards truth, the faster the delusion collapses, and thus the more resistance he faces. The habitus of our world is just as deluded as the one in the Truman Show. This is because what's valuable culturally has been drastically changed by reality TV and social media. The Truman Show almost predicted this with its commentary on reality TV. The vapid values of reality TV expanded to shape the entire habitus. Now, limited to reality TV, and this doesn't seem too harmful, but it gets so much worse when you consider this in our own reality, especially with the effects of social media on our values. Nowadays, everyone's the star of their own reality TV show. People project vapid and unattainable standards by advertising a fake life on social media.
But 14-year-old girls who use social media more than 5 hours a day saw a 50% spike in depression symptoms.
It just feeds into people's values. They see other people's fake lives and hold their own up to the same standards. These people then perpetuate the cycle, which then brings the habitus further and further away from authenticity and truth. Corporatization of society is then also reflected in the habitus of both the Truman Show and in our own society. In the Truman Show, the effects are obvious. Truman's wife is constantly advertising and shitting brands. It's almost a learned response that has been ingrained into her.
You really ought to throw out that mower. Get one of those new Elk rotaries.
Which is why at this point, Truman is actively interrogating her on the life that they've been living. In response, Truman's wife defaults to an almost robotic speech about a coffee brand. This is the habitus failing. Truman's wife is so deeply submerged in the Truman Show delusion that she has no other response. She just keeps reading the same script. But it's so much worse in our own society where our habitus is so heavily corporatized, with corporate values being held in such a high regard that we value our careers more than our families. Never before in history has this happened. Truman's suspicions of reality are then brought up again when his father, who he assumes is dead, shows up on his way to work dressed as a beggar.
Dad?
Truman's father is then quickly whisked away on a bus, but not before Truman sees his face.
Moving to your dream home with a not-so-dreamy color? You need the power of CertaPro Painters. The power to paint your home the color you really want. The power of pro. Start your project at CertaPro.com.
Hi, I'm Dee Brodsky, author of Find Your Unicorn State, and I'm partnering with We By...
He realizes something is up, so he goes to talk to his mother, who tries to explain away his father's reappearance by suggesting that he's just crazy and hallucinated it. This time, it doesn't convince Truman, who also notices how often his wife name draws brands. As Truman starts to go through his old things, the movie flashes back to Truman's college years and a chance encounter he had with a woman named Lauren. Lauren's meant to be a background character, but the two sides meet across the room. They share a conversation in a romantic moment on the beach. Lauren then goes out of character to try to reveal to Truman that his whole reality is fake.
Listen to me. Everybody knows everything you do. They're pretending to. Do you understand? Everybody's pretending.
Lauren, who reveals her real name as Sylvia, tries to explain that Truman's world is a lie. But then again, she stops short by a man saying he is her father, and that she's just talking nonsense. As Truman starts to think back to this, it's revealed that he still longs to see Sylvia, with him even recreating her face from fashion magazines, because Sylvia is the only thing that's real in this fake world. It's then later revealed that Truman is obsessed with Fiji, as Sylvia is reported to be moving there. Truman has started to see more and more suspicious things. His radio specifically describes his every move in an apparent malfunction. Truman's also seeing every part of the background set, but he's always escorted away from it. This sequence of events brings his suspicions to a breaking point, as Truman concludes that it seems that his entire world revolves around him in some weird way. Fearing that he's going crazy, he brings up these questions to Marlon, his best friend, who then just tries to brush it all off. And in response to his increased suspicion, Truman is then further barraged by suggestions that everything's just fine, that he's just being weird. His mother then shows fake pictures of him at Mount Rushmore, and even the TV runs a program about the benefits of a small town life. But by now, things don't work like they used to. He's seen the society that he lives in starts to crack. It's also laughable and ridiculous. This whole thing is a facade. And now that Truman is waking up to this reality, the lullabies of deception can't draw him back to sleep. After noticing that his wife is crossing her fingers in his wedding pictures, Truman follows her to work. Despite multiple attempts by extras to delay and stop Truman from seeing the surgery that his wife is helping with, Truman breaks into the hospital and sees the fake surgery being played out by actors who have no idea what they're doing. Determined to leave, Truman then visits a travel agency. By this point, Truman's had enough, so he's determined to leave. He wants to escape the sick society, so he tries to book a flight to Fiji. But the clerk says they're all sold out for at least a month, so then Truman tries to get a bus out, but conveniently breaks down just before leaving. Truman then, sitting in a car at home, waits for his wife to come back from work. When she does, she gets in the car with him as he points out the clockwork regularity of the people who go past their road. Unsatisfied with her unrealistic reaction to this, Truman then locks the car and takes Meryl on an impromptu road trip. To everyone around him, he seems like he's having a breakdown. He's breaking the rocks and habitus surrounding him, but then instantly traffic jam starts, stopping Truman in his tracks. Truman then pretends to go back home, which disperses the traffic completely, then turns right around and makes his way out of the suburbs and onto the road. Once they reach the bridge, which stands between Truman and the mainland, it seems that his conditioned aquaphobia will stop his escape plan. All the conditioning and propaganda is the only barrier to his freedom. However, Truman overcomes his fears by closing his eyes and forcing Merrill to steer the car while he holds down the accelerator. Once they're over the bridge, other obstacles are set up by Christoph to try and stop Truman from leaving. Truman even drives through wildfire, but is stopped by a roadblock due to a convenient leak at the nearby power plant. In desperation, Truman tries to get through on foot, but is tackled and subdued by men in hazmat suits who take him back home. The implausibility of all these events cements Truman's skepticism the world around him. Which brings up the question, how many so-called emergency events in our own world could be equally implausible? All the lies told by our media, all the false narratives pushed onto us, all the divisions sowed by algorithms in the news, all these layers of fallacy that have been embedded into every aspect of society. We all have the means to stop this nonsensical fictional reality that we abide by, and yet we choose not to confront it. When anyone does, they are breaking the habitats surrounding them, which threatens the whole house of cards that society is built on, which is why true, authentic reality is always outrunning our apprehension. So then how can we ever know the truth when the lens we look through is tainted by a corrupted habitus, tainted by all the models of distractions that we don't even acknowledge? If we can't comprehend true reality, we no longer know what truth is. We don't have a grasp on what our values really are. And it's this flattening of our values, of our society, of our culture that dampens our outrage and emotion. Everything becomes muted by a postmodern reality. In the Truman Show, Truman's deserved outrage at the cage he has been trapped in is never tapped into. He's never angry. Instead, he's always left in a state of confusion and distraction. He's mentally crazy by searching for the truth. This is because for the show to be successful, he relies on Truman and his belief in the society around him. If he starts questioning this, then society goes down with him. So society has to prevent him from questioning the habitus he is surrounded by. And are we any different? Is this why we live in a culture without soul or value? Where everything we think and do is shrinked down by reductionism? Where the phenomena of nature, personality, the essence of life, is just reduced to statistics and banal labels? Our world is filled with mystery and wonder. It's filled with adventure, but our world is being reduced to nothing more than a banal monotonous cage, numbing us into this bored, flaccid, apathetic state, which is what the Truman Show tries to show us. Once home, Truman is now feeling like an animal in a cage. His wife, unable to calm down, offers him some coffee with a less than subtle product placement. Truman immediately senses out the fact that she's performing for someone, and so he confronts her about it. He's starting to reject this ridiculous reality he's surrounded by, and because of this, he seems crazy, which is why then the actor of Truman's wife begins to break character and pulls out a sharpened kitchen utensil to defend herself. It's these sorts of cracks in the show that only happen when Truman stops believing in it. Like in our world, we're now starting to see the rise of political outsiders. We're seeing the rise of extremism and a general apathy of all the people who refuse to believe in our current system. With our government starting to collapse with war imminent, no one trusts our broken society. And in the case of the Truman Show, it's this unraveling madness that almost ends with Truman's wife revealing her active role. Only until Truman's lifelong friend Marla bursts in at the last minute and whisks Truman away to have a heart-to-heart conversation. But at this point, it's like putting a band-aid on a gaping wound. The floodgates are now open, and Truman's belief is dwindling. In this scene, the two are sitting near the river and begin reminiscing. Christoph, through Marlon, reassures Truman that Truman's life has meaning and is normal. He comforts Truman by assuring him that if what Truman believed was
with iBuy Direct Virtual Try-On, you can try over 3,000 styles with your mobile device.
Was real, then everyone would have to be in on it, including him. Though this isn't possible, as Marlon would never lie. On the surface, Truman seemingly takes this into heart, but deep down he knows that Marlon is just a victim of the game, and so he deliberately shows to him that he bought the ruse. He knows that Marlon isn't a bad person, but that he's not a real person. Morning arrives, and Truman seems to be back to his old self. He draws with a bar of soap on in the morning, he has the usual conversations with his neighbors and co-workers, and seems interested in a new office mate he will have next to him. Evening rolls around, and everything seems business as usual, with Truman fast asleep. However, Christoph senses something is off. Truman fell asleep in the basement, rather than his bed, and Marlon is again sent over with a six-pack to investigate and pull Truman back to sense. However, this time, he finds that Truman isn't there, and has escaped from the house. Christoph calls for all actors to search for Truman, and for the first time in the show's history, cuts the transmission. However, even with all the actors searching the entire set, Truman cannot be found. At his wit's end, Christoph has the set illuminated in daylight mode early, and on a hunch, has the team begin looking through the cameras near the harbor and on the boat. After cycling through a few cameras, the team finds Truman aboard a sailboat, and Christoph gives the call to resume transmission. After a few moments of peace sailing, Christoph is then faced with a dilemma. He either continues the transmission at risk of Truman finding the truth, or he gets rid of Truman entirely. So he decides decides to send a violent storm above Truman's boat. Kristoff increases the violence of the weather, but after a few long minutes, relents. Amidst this, Truman shows his willingness to die for the truth by shouting to the sky, "Is this the best you've got?" Kristoff, being godlike stupor, descends to send the most violent bout of weather yet. All to the dismay of his crew and producer. Truman, however, holds on, but is knocked unconscious. But at the last minute, Kristoff rescinds the weather and removes the storm, resuming the tranquil waters. Truman regains consciousness and begins sailing his boat again. He has beaten the storm, and the sea seems to be in his favor. However, after a few minutes, the bow of Truman's boat launches through the side of the set, leaving a big hole in the sky dome. By now, all of Truman's suspicions have been confirmed, and, in an ecstasy, begins punching the wall. However, the reality of Truman's situation begins to dawn on him as he sees the ramp at the end of the water. Truman walks across this ramp, walking on the water. The audience is gripped. The culmination of his 30 years in the Truman Show seems to be at its finale. Truman locates a staircase and slowly ascends to the side of the set. At the top, he locates the door labeled Exit and opens it, revealing the abyss beyond his realm. A godlike voice then thunders through the sky as Kristoff reveals that Truman was the star of a TV show with the whole world watching. Truman asks, "Was nothing real?" And in response, Kristoff responds that Truman is real, and that's what made him so enjoyable for millions. Kristoff then tries to keep Truman in the set by indicating that there was no more truth out in the real world, and that in the world he created for him, he had nothing to fear. His ignorance was bliss. After a few moments of silence, Truman looks up at the camera and says his final words before leaving the show. "Good afternoon, good evening, and good night." It's Truman's overriding impulse to return to what is real that makes the entire show fall apart. His drive to understand true reality is enough to bring down the false reality he'd been living in. As he goes through the door, this symbolizes Truman taking back control and turning back on a sterile, hollowed-out reality. And today, we're in the same process. The increasingly ridiculousness of our society and the habitus that we're servile to is beginning to crack. With our world, economy, and culture crumbling into the ground, we're seeing a rejection of this tired system. We're seeing new waves of younger generation dropping out of the workforce, rejecting the habitus imposed on them, and millions taking the untrodden path, which is causing society to reach a crossroads. We're faced with a new path because those in control of our reality are now making a new one. A path of metaverse is a virtual AI reality to take us astray from our current world, and the other path is a reversion back to what is truly felt. But whichever path we take, our belief in society is falling apart. The cracks are starting to show everywhere you look, and the game is collapsing in on itself. So the question is, where does it go from here? I have a quick important announcement to make. I'm sick of being demonetized on YouTube. I'm sick of censoring these videos for the YouTube algorithm. So this is going to change. Every month, I'm going to be releasing unfiltered, raw, controversial videos for YouTube members. The videos about the darkest corners of the internet, TikTok, the CIA, China, Rothschilds, and Mr. Robot series review. And by the end of the month, especially early August, I'll be releasing a video on Ted Kaczynski, otherwise known as the US Bomber, where we'll talk about his story, going from a mathematical prodigy to living in the world, sending bombs in the mail, and having his manifesto on the front page of the New York Times. Not only that, but by becoming a member of the channel, you have access to my Discord server to talk with other like-minded people, where every month I'll be doing a Q&A for all your questions. And if you're still not happy with your membership in the first month, I will personally refer...
case for stories that work best in certain mediums. One could argue that it would work even better as a proper series, especially with the conceit of the in-universe show being uninterrupted by commercials. But as it stands, being a live-action film suits it perfectly. The camera work gives a sense of the true voyeurism the plot builds itself on. Not much exposition is needed to understand certain actions taken by the inhabitants, or rather employees of the dome. It also provides a natural eerie feel. I stop at feel as the recording process is not outright dangerous as we come to find out. I've always found this absence of hostility fascinating. Let's dig a little deeper to see why The Truman Show was written in such a way and how it lends itself to some bigger ideas at play. This is what it all meant. The in-universe Truman Show is built around the setting of a fictional utopian island, acknowledged by the showrunners and viewers as essentially a feel-good fantasy. Complete with kind neighbors, coworkers, family, friends, a host of nearby conveniences, but not in superstore fashion, mild climate, weather conditions, well, as long as you're not dwelling on leaving on a beach somewhere, a perfect society all around, though.
And there'll be another episode of I Love Lucy, same time tomorrow.
Much like an old television series with a perfect nuclear family, The Truman Show is built on a longing for a version of comfort, an ideal life being reality, at least for one person. The film even starts with discussing this hook for broadcast.
Nothing here is fake. Nothing you see on this show is fake. It's merely controlled.
The charm lies in a better life and the happiness that surrounds that. With this setup comes our first major idea. Content is not sustainable. As much as Truman's life is objectively good, he still longs for disruption. Whether from a girl he happened to glance at in school one day or pining after a location that's as far as he could reasonably get from his current position, the pure unknown has an appeal in his clearly bored state, best represented by the pitch-black rectangle that later symbolizes just that. The creator builds this setup as perfection, yet we as the audience, and hopefully the in-universe audience outside of Christoph, can see that keeping someone bound to any lifestyle isn't as healthy as it seems. It only took a small misstep to cause Truman to spiral after all. Truman's paranoia in the latter parts of the movie are tame, to say the least.
No artificial sweetness.
What the hell are you talking about? Who are you talking to?
There's a high level of ignorance paid to his falsified world, as he doesn't even bat an eye to obviously tailor-made broadcasts or headlines. Then again, that's been his whole life. Pleasant interactions, product placement, and the sort have molded his sensibilities. As with any thinking person, I have to believe that going out into the regular world will cause more than a few breakdowns or trust issues. But I digress, as remember, why would Truman ever want to leave? The film and in-universe program during its pre-disruption phase doesn't really give much reason to, as remember, controlled utopia. Much like, say, any major real-world issue that doesn't show immediate signs of catastrophe, Truman accepts his world as factual even when there are clear signs to the contrary. The film diverts from this pure state to have a proper story, but the first act in and of itself is extremely interesting even before the seemingly heavy leaning towards the discussion of creator versus captor. Is Christoph a creator or captor? Is Truman essentially a zoo animal being paraded around in questionable fashion with a fee attached to this viewing?
Watching when you took your first step.
I think the end of the film leaves these questions for us.
Watched you when you first did.
But before we head there, one of my favorite scenes is the televised interview. I'm a sucker for any morality argument, but especially when there isn't a clear side.
What right do you have to take a baby and turn his life into some kind of mockery?
Nothing either party says is wholly wrong. There are errors, depending on your view, but neither side walks away fully victorious.
See, haven is the way the world should be.
The questions then linger or shape our view of previous information, like with the mother pushing for grandchildren. This is a pretty normal request from aging family members, but in retrospect to the argument and the talk of the spinoff series, it's hard not to then question how the spinoff would work. Is it okay to shape that child's life like Truman's was and is? Was it okay in the first place just because Truman's mother did not want him? Should a corporation own intellectual rights to a person without any consent? But wouldn't it be okay since the corporation was acting as a legal guardian? I believe people should always have these thoughts when viewing a story, but it seems like the phone call go a long way in starting the thoughts or keeping people on track when they say, don't pick up on the creator of the show being a stand-in for a creator. The film portrays Christoph as near omniscient, just short. In his logic and discerning, less so, but in vision, definitely. But is he benevolent? Going back to what I previously talked about, is detaining someone in near perfection good? The God of Christianity is said to have created something good, but allowed the beast and the Leviathan to roam. In other words, the world isn't kept perfect, and people were given free will. That's timeless discussion in itself, but just for the sake of argument, if free will is the allowance of even greater than the set standard, if you play your cards right with a bit of luck, isn't the absence of free will, then, playing a standard game with no stakes, essentially making the whole endeavor pointless? Christoph, more than likely spelled like so for a reason, wants people to believe, and maybe even has himself believing, that Truman has free will to leave, at least. But where's his equivalent to the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Or better yet, where's his Bible? In a sense, the God of Christianity gives you a written account of every way in which you can deny him. Where's Truman's list? Where is his information on what's happening to him? Statements are made of possible escape, and yet when the opportunity arises, Truman is nearly killed for it. With a final plea and a call to mercy, the Creator changes tact in an effort to keep his creation going at the behest of his most prized creation.
You can speak.
This is why I love The Truman Show. For me, it creates a dialogue about benevolence. Truman is a charming everyman being controlled by someone who, by all accounts, believes he is doing good. But being stuck in his own shadow has warped the meaning of the word. Or Truman may be a petulant child that can't see what's truly good for him, including the shroud of ignorance. Beyond that, it connects to us in the same way it connects to the in-universe audience. Oh, and its attention to paranoia and the leading to a name disorder in real life is fascinating. And you can't forget the look at the enabling actors and the wide audience. There's just so much.
What else is on?
Yeah, let's see what else.
First of TV, guys.
Hey, thanks for watching. The Truman Show is great. If there's anything that you think I didn't cover well enough or any additional information, anything that I just glossed over, just let me know. Put it in the comments so that they can be like,
forget those things.
Of illusions. There's a powerful quote in the beginning that describes it really well, and one that carries over nicely to our own reality and daily lives. Nothing is fake, but everything is controlled. Why? Because we only accept the reality of the world that we're presented with. On the surface, the film appears to be about the journey towards truth. And while this does ring true, under the surface is a movie about so much more, with tremendous implications for us today. And just to get it out of the way, for those who haven't seen it, and don't mind the spoiler, The Truman Show is a story about a man who was born and raised in a TV set, the actual set of which is really the size of a small town. Everyone he knows, his family, his friends, and even his wife are all actors. Truman is an unwitting guinea pig manipulated by a television conglomerate and used for the world's entertainment. The cherry on top here lands with his name itself. He is Truman, literally the only person in his reality that's true, real, or authentic. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like you were living in a Truman Show in some way? The reason I ask is because in most people's lives, at some point, we seem to question the authenticity of our reality. It's not an uncommon thing, so sometimes it can be blown up to extremes. After this film came out, a psychological disorder was coined called the Truman Show delusion, in which a person comes to believe that they are at the center of attention for millions or billions of people around the world. Now, of course, that probably seems ridiculous to even conceive of such a thing. But in a way, we may actually all be living out some kind of Truman Show ourselves. Spiritual perspective, a lot of us can relate to Truman's awakening. While we may not live in a movie set, or maybe that's just what our producers want us to think, the overwhelming bulk of our mainstream reality is filtered and presented to us by people with agendas, especially the mass media, who sensationalize specific stories to keep our focus and attention. This is depicted very clearly in The Truman Show. Everything is controlled, and there is deep indoctrination at every level, especially encouraging him to not want to leave his hometown. The radio guy, people on TV, even his school teacher in a flashback, all messing with his mind, convincing him to stay where he is and surrender to the life that he has.
I like to be an explorer, like the great Magellan.
Oh, you're too late. There's really nothing left to explore.
It gets to the point that it's almost purposefully comical. Like the picture in the travel agency? Can you imagine if a real travel agency hung that up? I mean, how would they even stay in business? The scary part is, this is also the world we live in. Every advertisement is trying to sell you something, even if it's just selling you on an idea or a way of thinking. News is the same thing, and so on and so forth. Basically, every media everywhere. Heck, I can't even escape it. Spirit Science itself is a channel with a message. But I will be completely upfront and transparent with you. Our intention is the evolution of consciousness, period. Now, oftentimes, a spiritual awakening doesn't come all at once. It's not like one moment you're meditating, and then suddenly there's a flash of light and you transform into a Taoist sage. Although, that would be pretty cool. No, spiritual awakenings are often the result of loads of little weird coincidences that steer you in the general direction of a powerful waking up, aha, or getting it moment. And many times, like Truman, once we experience one glitch in the Matrix, we'll keep experiencing more, oftentimes even stronger until we answer that inner calling to something greater and try to flee our hometowns to Atlanta until we're taken down by guys in hazmat suits. On that subject, there seems to be this theory online that the production team of The Truman Show actually just represents the ego. Now think about it. One of the main pitfalls of the ego is that it relies and thrives in comfortability, and it will do anything to remain and keep you there. It can even mess with your head, and you can convince yourself that seemingly miraculous events have simple, mundane reasons and nothing of interest there to go and explore deeper. The production team in Truman's life follows him around.
Oh, shoot. Let's talk about easy. Like, see, freeze. And no,
we can easily buckle on the charge.
Follows him around every step of the way and rearranges the set to keep him believing the lie. Every time he thinks he sees something out of the ordinary, they're there to fix the glitch almost immediately and make him think that he's going crazy until he literally does. And this is where he gets deeper. Remember that scene where he locks his wife in the car with him and drives around in circles for a while and then careens off to try and leave the state? Like, no question, he really loses his marbles here for a bit, behaving like a nut job.
Truman, where are we going?
I don't know. Different things spontaneous. Somebody help me!
But then you look out into the world, and how much anxiety is there? Depression, manic behavior, schizophrenia, and other mental disorders. And we wonder why? No, it's not necessarily because there's cameras in everyone's face, although there sort of is, and we're going to get to that soon. But suffice to say, our environment is a huge factor of this, and we as a species are living a rather inauthentic life. And this inauthenticity and mass indoctrination from media, poor conscious education, and reckless social programming absolutely can mess us up in mass. And I mean, have you ever had a moment where you're talking about something with a friend, not Googling it or even on a video call, and the next thing you know, you're seeing ads for that very thing popping up online? Seriously, it's a little weird, and it's happening to a lot of people right now. So let's face it, for most of us, our phones and our Alexas, our HomePods or whatnot, are always listening. So, yeah, mass indoctrination. Plus, not to get too deep into Edward Snowden, but mass surveillance is also a very real thing. Maybe we are all participating in a big old Truman Show. Now, regarding the case of the show, they really have to do this to Truman because he's the star and they need the show to keep going. But for us, our egos keep us asleep and unquestioning of the truth because it knows that once we awaken to the true nature of ourselves, we might be able to transcend our ego and leave it behind. Naturally, our egos are afraid of ego death. In other words, in order to walk the path of awakening, fears and mental bonds need to be overcome. Now, a couple of very interesting things here. On the one hand, yes, we can see the mass indoctrination that happens to Truman to sustain the show. On the other hand, I think it's also important to look at the creator's intention. Christoph, who in a way basically plays God, clearly loves and cares for Truman. Yes, he's like the patriarchal overlord version of God from the Old Testament, but we see these scenes of him watching Truman as he sleeps, as if he really is like his child.
Oh my
God. It's not like he just entirely made the show to sell the brand new Mococo drink, all natural cocoa beans from the upper slopes of Mount Nicaragua, no artificial sweeteners.
What the hell are you talking about?
But no, you know, we see Christoph's passion for his work and show with the reunion with Truman's father, in which he orchestrates a beautiful moment both for Truman and viewers simultaneously that literally brings everyone to tears. It just goes to show, I guess, that passionate, creative, artistic, and wildly insane all go hand in hand. In a way, it's almost courageous to try and make a show like this. And at the same time, I'm surprised it didn't get shut down from the outset for infringing on human rights law. Maybe all the lawmakers just really enjoyed the show. However, the problem with Christoph also lies where his brilliance does, in his thinking. At one point, he describes that he's given Truman the opportunity to live a normal life.
I have given Truman the chance to live a normal life.
Certainly, it is an ordinary life, but it's not an extraordinary one. In fact, it's super boring. It's so boring that at one point, Truman's best friend glorifies him for having a desk job. But something within Truman longs for something bigger, something more, freedom. And this calls on all of us to really ask ourselves, what is a normal life? Are we living one? Are we happy with how things are? Or do we want something more? If the answer is yes, you're in the right place. Keep watching. Ooh, almost sounded like a product placement, didn't it? But then it wasn't. So regarding Truman's awakening, one of the underlying messages here seems to be that sometimes, in order to see the truth, we must face our fears. There's actually an old quote about how the treasure you seek lies in the cave you fear to tread. But it's more than just treasure. Truman shows us that we must come to a full and ultimately truer understanding of the nature of reality. Towards the end of the movie, Truman faces that fear, gets on his boat, and searches for that freedom. When the team finds him out on the water, Christoph turns on all the weather modifiers. He must be a mod for the server or something. But he tries to make Truman turn back in the face of the storm that almost destroys him. It's a time of testing and uncertainty in his spiritual journey. But, like our own, it is a necessary rite of passage, a dark night of the soul, you know? That weird period on your journey where everything you used to know, the entirety of your old life, just falls apart around you, and you're forced to make that life-changing decision of whether to go back to the safety of a normal life or continue down the spiritual path. Truman takes the red pill and nearly is killed in the process by his own maker. But it's here that he makes the choice to surrender his old life fully.
You're not supposed to do that now!
So it's Friday night there, all of a sudden. You gecko, go. Bundling your home and car insurance could save you hundreds.
The neighbor's like,
huh? Little girl.
Hi, gecko.
Huh?
What's the commercial?
I know, right? Geico.
What a legend. It's no coincidence that shortly after the storm clears and he's back on the sea, that he hits the side of the massive dome stage and reaches the limit of his current reality. Unlike the song, however, he didn't buy his stairway to heaven. He completely earned it. Whether he's winding down the road with a shadow taller than his soul or not, it's the gateway or stairway to higher realms of thought. It's the gateway beyond the dream of our illusory life and identity. The gateway beyond the life Truman has always known, and even beyond Truman himself. By walking up those stairs, he transcends his normal identity, moves on, out into the real world. Or the next layer of a multidimensional illusory holographic reality matrix.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. We should have come in.
Thank you guys for tuning into this podcast of the Hanson Awareness Radio. Now, this podcast was about listening and paying attention. You know, that was the original title, but as you guys, if you guys are no stranger to ear, you guys know that I am not in control, okay, as far as this Truman Show is concerned. So, with that being said, we're here. All right, Eternal, I believe your mic is unmuted. Royalty. Yeah, your mic is unmuted, Eternal. So, Royalty to you. Am I muted? I'm not muted. So, Royalty, we cannot hear you yet. Eternal, if you are there, I hope you guys have been enjoying the podcast. Eternal, I can't hear you. All right. So Eternal is not there as of yet, but yeah, guys, that is all. I promise you, I want to kind of just end the show on this, you know what I mean? Like, that's it.
you know? So, yeah. A lot of information. A lot of information and wisdom on that. So, there is something, though, that I do want to leave you guys with. And again, Eternal, if you're trying to come in, we cannot hear you. And I really don't have anything else to say on that. So, let's see. Oh, okay. Where is it? Yeah, I don't have much to say to add to anything on that. Let me see if I can play a song real quick, and I'll be right back. That I'm gonna play this, and then I'm gonna play the clip, and then I'm gonna end the show. Okay, love you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you again. We appreciate you.
We talked about.
We appreciate everything.
The science of life, because just like you said, the generator, operator, destroyer, God, just frequency, energy, vibration. Generates energy, operates energy, and then destroys itself and creates and generates a new energy. So we're in the point of evolution where our planet is becoming a plasma-based planet, right? Our planet is becoming a plasma-based planet, which means that we must evolve right along with our planet. That must, that's why you must open yourself up to nature and the cosmos, because nature and the cosmos is sending out so many messages, evolve, 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 with your brothers and sisters who don't want to evolve. Because they, it's responsibility. That means you got to meditation and you got to build and you got to create and you got to design. You got to, you know, you got to do the different things to take yourself to the evolution. And it's a lot of work. Evolution is chaos, and we are chaos beings, and we're supposed to be able to link into that chaotic energy and become what our cosmos, what our cosmos is, what our planet is, what galaxies, universe, everything. You know, they're just different areas of the cosmos. That's all it is. They're just different areas of the cosmos. So we're supposed to evolve. Evolution is important. Go deep within yourself. I link into the darkest energy. I link into the darkest, the power of the darkness. I link into everything that deals with dark forces. I link into I link into the evolution. I shift my body into the form of cosmic energy. I mean, these are the things that we on a cosmic level. So we must evolve. In a state of evolution, you've got to listen to your spirit and stay within your mind. And when you stay within your mind, it will begin to happen. And your evolution helps the planet to evolve even greater. Because why? We are the atoms of this world. That's why. We're the atoms of this world. Your evolution is your change, and your change is you shifting yourself from one being type of vessel to a different type of vessel. Before the fall, our brothers and sisters had literally tapped into an infinite power. And then they allow the enemy to come in and do whatever, and that enemy put a spell upon us, and we didn't understand, but now we know the spells, and now we know how to keep our guard, except for now we know how to safeguard ourselves. So now we must evolve, because the enemy cannot evolve. They're going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Now they have this thing to talk about social credit, where you obey the law, then you get a certain amount of money, and you can hang out with everybody in the public. Why the fuck would I want to be a part of this system, which means that our evolution would take us into that part of that destruction? The generator to operate it now, you got to destroy this system, and you can destroy this system while you come into an infinite light energy being. When you come into a plasma energy being, when you become a dark energy being, when you become a being, a water being, a fire being, a wind being, you can literally destroy this entire system, and there's nothing that they can see about it. There's no weapon, no law that they can create to try to do anything, because then you destroy their everything. They want you to be under their subjection when they're supposed to be under your subjection. We are evolutionary beings. We are chaos beings. It's who we are. So you must learn how to evolve into that chaotic mind, tap into that chaotic energy, and you will see the powers that's within you. Evolution is happening right now, where our planet is being transformed from an electromagnetic planet to a plasma-based planet. And it's going to keep on going and going and going. It's going to go to an ether planet, and then it's going to transform it to a photonic ether planet and a plasmatic photonic planet. I mean, it's going to be evolving. They can't stop the evolution that's happening. Now you must make the evolution even greater. That's why we talk about meditation, all your Tai Chi, all the things to do, building and creating. Yes, it is chaos. To evolve is chaotic. But within that chaos, you become the most powerful beings ever. Our sun is constantly sending plasma energy, dark plasma energy, dark plasma energy. Because why? Our planet is going to become a dark plasma-based planet. Everything is evolving. That's why you got all these earthquakes and lightning strikes everywhere. Just understand, brothers and sisters, who we are and what is happening. We change everything. We change everything. There's no Mosai, there's no Allah, Jesus, God, whatever that is. It's us. We are the primordial deities who change everything on this planet. Now you evolve. You evolve.
All right. There it is. Let me remind everybody that the original title, and matter of fact, the title of this podcast is called Are We Listening? Hold on, let me go back and tell you the exact title. It's called Do We Have Selective Listening on Important Matters? Now, this is for the all, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, the season that we're entering, I feel, is going to be a season of less talking and listening more. This is the ritual in which is taking place in this now moment. Do I understand a lot of the shit that's going on? No. Has a lot of shit been happening spiritually that is out of my control, but that is evident angelic interference. We are not in fucking control. That's the message. Eternal, you got something to say? Royalty to you, I cannot hear you. And please know, to anybody, I'm not running. I've been a runner a lot, but there's a lot of spiritual things that I can't explain. Okay?
Greetings.
So know that. Greetings. Greetings. There you go.
That's right. Peace, brother. How you feeling?
Creative today. I'm feeling creative today. I just finished a painting. I just finished a painting that I'm going to surprise the goddess with. So, well, not a goddess, thank you. She's more than a goddess, baby. She's an emperor, empress. There we go. Then I'm going to surprise the empress with. But creative.
Yeah. That's it.
How are you feeling?
Creative mind. Oh, man. I'm relieved. And yet, at the same time, I'm like, learning how to become more acceptable to timely fashions. Like, we create time. However, we also are in time. So, like, sometimes we want to go ahead of ourselves. And you find out even going ahead of yourself, you still ahead. Yeah. You still got to wait for the rest of it to pop up. Okay. You got the head going, but your body got to go with it, too. You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
because we have principles that where we might want to put 30 people with you, not all 30 people going to be ready when you ready to go. So now you got to work on lesser than 30 people. You know, because you'll notice that the imperfections start to become of the perfection. A lot of people talk of, I'm not perfect. And because the God form is like how they showed us in Truman Show, Rain Man is another one. Forrest Gump is another one where the gullible side is shown. Even in Elephant Man, that's as old as I don't know what, but Elephant Man, they showed us how a creator is now creating a story, and now it's up to the creator on the length of how far it goes. Yet, when you find out when people say that I'm perfect or I'm not perfect, you'll find out that this perfect person runs into the imperfect person and then find out that they got to still work on their perfection. No matter how perfect you think you are, you still got to work on your perfection. And because of that, it holds some of us down longer than the other. And that's where we feel like, okay, I can't work with the whole group. I can work only partial. Then I can come back to that whole group again. You're going to get that 30 group. You just got to work it in small numbers first so you can multiply. See, we didn't go by divide. And we didn't go by subtraction. We went by plus sign and times sign. So when we had these signs, it became the letter T. And T and I, you know, is created in that. So now when people speak, they speak of their time in relativity. When relativity is being spoken of, does everybody relate that? And this is where you get the confusion. They come down and they confuse us. How about they never came down? How about they were up while you was down? And it sounds confusing. This is the amusement of ourselves in the park that we want to go and ride the roller coaster and get the cheap thrills out of. When we find out that these horror stories are just realities that some of us are just dramatized by. We have to now face our traumas and our drama. Otherwise, we're continuing the cycle. And we said we done got out of third grade, but third grade still hitting us up right now. So you got to learn how to not be in a third grade mentality around other people. You're going to just keep repeating third grade. Or everybody else going to fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, they graduating. And as the brother said, it's terrible if you in chaos and you expect to see sanity while you thinking chaotic. It don't work. You're going to have to find your sanity. Why are you even in the insane of thought? Because for real, people that are supposed to get locked up, how do you think they get out? They say you got to be on good behavior.
I'm wondering what you said. When people get locked up, how do I think they get out?
Right. Like my father put me in 7 months in my room. That was freaking locked up. He ain't know it. Yeah, this is what he had to go through, so he put it on me. So you know that some of us, we get concentration camps built on us, and we don't know nothing about it. Yeah. You got to experience it, too, because why? You came from that gene, didn't you? So you ain't going to just
go past. It's like you come to awareness of this is not my shit. Like, why am I going through this shit? This is not my shit. But is it?
Yeah, exactly. If you notice it's not your situation, you'll be more calm about it. Yet because you're in the situation, it makes you feel like I ain't got the time to think about it. You do. That's why it's called breath. Holy breath teaches you to breathe a little bit more, a little bit stronger. Don't be so weak with your breath. Bring in a deeper breath so your concentration will get there too. Now you think about imagination, and most people, they don't walk backwards. But now, have you ever walked backwards? Bro, have you ever walked backwards?
Not intentionally.
Not with intent. You used to do that when you was a child,
right,
though, didn't you? So you can't give up your child. Right. With intent. They'd be like,
with
turn
intent,
around for your stuff.
You're right.
Right.
You're right.
You're like, turn around before you hurt yourself. And you're like, God dang, I got to turn right around because I'm going to hurt myself.
It was fun.
Your imagination got caught. All right, go ahead. Even blind is justice. Mm. Isn't Blind Justice? Mm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Let me look at this right here. They got this. I got a paper, right? And it speaks about certain things that we went through in our comedic side, right? And when they talk about balance, balance is a scale. It's used for measuring the deeds of those who are doing the deeds, right? So now, is it helpful, non-helpful? This is where it comes out to be divine is balance. It's also called justice, and it's also called order. So you're going to go through chaos, yet you're going to find order somewhere within. Like this little bell just tinged off, right, because I even said that. There's things that's going to come from the outside, okay, just like Tehuti. Tehuti is the script writer. So the scribe of Netzaru, they call the gods, and their deity, see how he said Netzaru is the god and the deity. Now, deity represents like a semi-god, not the actual god, but we call everybody, you know, what's our god? You know, just so you can get a feeling of god form. When we wrote deity, the deity is just like your diet. That's why it's written the same way. It's just E-I, just change the I-E. All right, so now the deity, which represents wisdom and knowledge. Now, it didn't say just wisdom. It didn't say just knowledge. That means you got to not only know it, you got to demonstrate what you know. Also represents as an ibis. Now, ibis is known as a bird. Ibis is known as a bird, right? And that's your perfection to the bird. You hear the baby in the background. The bird represents life. And so you hear life like the baby. You hear life being able to express itself. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And if we don't find that, that's why we can't look for justice. We're looking for justice, but we got to find out where is it at. Not only did they put the ibis as the symbolic symbol to Tehuti, they also put the baboon. The baboon is also another symbol for Tehuti. Tehuti is one who scribes. Remember, you remember the book was put in scripture, yet they didn't say it was inscribed. So when you inscribe something, you're putting it down. You're like a mantle. Like you can engrave concepts, right? Engrave is like a point of gravity. In gravity, engrave. So Tehuti is one, and then the opposition from Tehuti would be Ma'at. And Ma'at would be the twin sister of the Netzer. They call it goddess. They call it truth. Here's it again. Here we go. Balance. And here it is again. Justice. She would sit at Asar's side, and she will be weighed. It would be weighed against what? Your heart with a feather. And this feather represents your divinity. How you harmonize, how you good at mathematics. Mathematics is represented as Ma'at. If we don't know Ma'at, it's because we didn't get into math.
I'm listening.
She said the aha moment. You're going to have one of those aha moments.
I have no words.
Okay. Alright, so now Ptah represents your path, the Netzer of material creation, your creativity, usually depicted holding a staff, like I said, or a mantle. One of the older deities of Memphis. Now, you know, Memphis is a place, Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis, M-E, Mem. Mem also is like in memory. And then it says Phi, Memphis, and it's Isis. They got Phi, P-H, represents Ptah. Ptah is your P-H balance. And do that again. Ptah represents your P-H balance. When you write down on that search engine, you're looking for stuff, it says H-T-T-P. That's Hotep. Hotep represents the opposition of Ptah. So we're saying the names. We just don't know what we're saying as we're saying it. Okay. So Netzer of craftsmen. A Netzer of craftsmen. This is what Ptah represents. So anyone who's a craftsman or one who basically makes things versus thinking they're creating it or build things, not knowing that they're creating into that realm,
This is the deity along with Amen, A-M-E-N, and Ra, R-A, Ra, which is worship, or what we look at it as honor, as an early holy trinity, as Amen, Ra, Ptah. Remember they said Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You get that?
Yeah.
We say Amen.
That was talking about yesterday.
Okay, so we say Amen to seal the delivery. You sealing it. You put a seal on it. That's like Navy SEALs, you know, military, militia. They got seals that you put on an envelope. You got seal that's in the water, right? That's three different. I got you going all over the place and not knowing where you're going. That's why it's a mental, a spiritual, and a physical to how we think, how we act, how we react. Your life, your lifestyle. Your life, your lifestyle, and then your livelihood. That's what's different. The livelihood. You got a hood on you. Where's it coming from? Ptah. Ptah is one who wears the hood on their head. You're learning your craftsmanship. That's why it became a Shriner thing. That's why a lot of people start dipping into that, not knowing what's going on. But now let's go into Amen. Amen represents Amun, A-M-O-N, right? And it's also A-M-U-N, Amun, a Monday, right? Amun.
Mm-hmm.
So Amun is the nether of the upper Kemet. The supreme nether represents as pictured or with a human body and a ram's head. Uh-oh. Did I say and a ram's head? That sounds like Moses. And a ram's head. Patron, god of pharaohs. Now, he sounds like a commander to the rest of the gods they call the pharaohs. It says god of pharaohs. It didn't say god, then the pharaohs. It didn't say God away from the pharaohs. It's God of the pharaohs. So patron, we know it as, just like we say, matrix, ma'at, we have a patron. That's the paternal side. That's the father side, the parenting side. So now, the almighty one, king of God. Whoa. That's a big statement right there. And then part of the divine triad, the chief deity worship as Amun Ra. Amun Ra. So the symbol is light, hidden strength, and supremacy. And if you look at the picture of this brother, he basically got the two templates that Moses come down the mountain of Sinai or not, and showing you these two temples, left and right, is basically symbols of the energy that we are basically expressing all the time. And we don't see it because we're not at the Pekah, the path. You got to start putting some pathway into yourself. You got to start putting some creativity, some materialization, some metaphysics. Not just the S, metaphysics. When they add the S, it became an outside thing. That's why Amun represents your inside. So when people say Amen, they hit it. They put it inside. They didn't even finish the word for you. So when we say again, what's the word? Well, how about the word got shortened? All right. Aset. Aset is known as the wife and the queen of Asar. And, you know, this is like basically, not to say that we're looking at incest. This is a metaphor of your bodies being together. The wife and the queen of Asar, queen of Netzaru, God, that's what Netzaru represents. Mother of Heru, the archetype of the loving or devoted mother and queen of the universe. Her symbol is wisdom, wifehood, and nurturing. And again, there's the balance. So she brings the reciprocity back to the building. This is why the lotus flower is a symbolic of renewal of the spirit and the regeneration of self, how it closes at night and regenerates in the sunrise. That's the resurrection. That's the renewal. That's the rebirth. And this is why this was on people's heads. This is why they carried it on their body. This is why they did the lotus pose to sit in your meditational sitting ability. so that you can get more in tune.
Mm-hmm.
You got Goose. That's Geb. He's known as the Goose. This represents your physical earth as you're into the material world. Husband of Nut. We talk about Nut, we talk about Geb. Husband of Nut. And he's touching the sky. And this is where Geb is of the earth. And he nourishes and he basically energizes us. So when you see the birds, the Geb birds are the goose, the wild goose to the little itty bitty goose. Don't think of because they're big, that's it. Don't think of because they're small, that's it. Start looking at everything in God form. If you ain't thinking God form, you've been deformed. And we've been feeling that. The deformity of why things ain't working my favor. Because you on spirit. You need to hit soul.
We think something about it, no.
Yeah, like you just stuck your foot in the water and you're like, all right, that's good, I'm good. You came all the way over here to the beach and you put your feet in the water and you walk away from it? Okay, well, we'll see you later. The ancestors don't be waiting on you. The ancestors are patient, but they don't be waiting on you. What I mean by that is you're the weight of yourself. They don't weigh you like that. You weigh yourself. And this is why there's no judgment on what you're doing. They're going to be here forever. It's you that's going to be limited. So you got to start doing some things and say, okay, wait a minute, I don't want to be just limited. I'm going to get this unk on me. Why is the unk? Why you put that up there? Because it's shaped and it's outstretched side arms representing the womb. It's also representing that phallus of what we call the penis. And then the offspring. And so it's symbolized of life. Everlasting, the fusion between the man and the woman, energy. That's why it's symbolically important to go back to your key. What key do you use? What she do you use? So it's a representation of completion. It's also representing eternity and fertility. That's why it's very important while we look at these things. Heru. Heru portrays a cow, a cow-headed goddess. This mother of the sky. And God is the protector of women. So you got a cow that's protecting women. But see, we done cut the cow up. We done domesticated the cow. We call it names. Call it a heifer. We call all kind of stuff. So now it's okay to eat the cow. But that's the one that's protecting you the whole time. See how that works?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kepa-rock, the dung beetle. Is seen as a rising, the morning sun. As the sun rises, you know, Lucifer, the sun and the morning star, is Kepa-ra. Symbolizing as rebirth, resurrection, believed to have created itself. See, some of us don't think that we haven't created ourselves. That's why we have issues. You want to blame your mama. You want to blame your father for your thing. You want to blame even the grandmama and the grandfather. They ain't even here no more. Yeah, it's all their fault. It's all their fault. You better stop that. Go on back, sit in that corner again. Meditate.
If I may.
Yes.
Yeah, if I may, I just want to say, you know, a lot of us, not me anymore, I don't think, but a lot of us, but I'm just examining other brothers and other younger generations or even people my age.
That's good to do.
And we're still
that's right.
I'm sorry?
No, I said that's good to do. Keep going.
Yeah, so you know what I mean? So I'm in that mode, and when I'm in that mode, they're crying because, you know, they feel like that it's a control. That's why this show today, because they feel like that they are in a control system, and any move or any make is not good enough. That's what they're feeling heavy in their heart.
Yeah, no,
you know,
and that's
mean?
The way.
It's like nothing we can do is good enough for
wow.
y'all.
That's the weighing and that's the weight. Remember, there's really no gravity. Nothing is holding us down. For real. Nothing is holding. If you got into a roller coaster, what they got you doing? What's the first thing they got you doing when you're sitting in that roller coaster?
They got you. I love roller coasters, but they got you. They got you fastening your seatbelt and they got you.
Oh,
safe
okay.
Protection.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Stop right there.
Perfection.
You gotta fasten your seatbelt. You gotta sit in the motion. Otherwise, you ain't with the motion.
You're going to be the first one off track.
Oh.
You're going to be the first one coming off of that thing. And they'd be like, oh, what happened? Oh, we ain't have no, you know, no connection to the motion to you. So your motion changed everything. And now you off the track when the speed is getting ready to go speeding up. So it's the whole idea that when you fasten your seatbelt, it's like you're already in your mind preparing yourself. And this is what we as a people have to do. We got to be prepared to go with the body when the body moves. You can't just go ahead of the body. You're going to find out you're going to have some issues.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get up, straight up, after you get out of bed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe slow that down.
I slowed it down. I don't get straight up.
That's okay.
I slowed it down. I sit there.
Yeah,
and I even stretch sometimes. But I have
Now we're getting somewhere. That's where I was going to go.
Sometimes I ain't there yet. But I have
personal
rituals that I do.
Okay,
my
so now
spiritual
you said you ain't there yet.
Let me say that.
Now, okay, all right. See, so now we don't even have to go there because I was about to ask you. Are you present?
Yep. I'm there.
Don't
I
your
am
spiritual
there,
is present.
But
all right.
But I just, you like yoga. I like, you know, incense. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, that's it. No, come on. This is where that came from. This is all going back to the oneness. Oneness is in every God form. If we don't think that, it's in none of the God forms that we call it. So now we do got issues. We do got a masculine and a feminine concentration, not concentrating enough. And we do want to say we want to hide ourselves, but yet we don't know where we're hiding first. Why are you hiding anyway?
Yeah.
What you got to have hidden? Now, I know I got it. People in the public, people in the private. You don't want to show them everything you got. I get that. I do. Yeah, if you ain't protected,
that's
then that's probably why you're saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. Beth. Beth is a benefit. A beneficent dwarf god whose role was to bring happiness to the family. Now, how can you do that if you're hiding everything? Okay? A protector of mother and children. Oh, so maybe you need a best god next to you. But you probably don't know any short people. See, these are not only the outside things, the inside. All right? Symbolize of joy, imagination, household, and emotional protection. Now, we didn't explain about Asar. Asar is that opposition of Aset. He is the netter of the afterlife, not the before life. Did you hear that? A lot of people don't talk about that.
The after, not the before life. You said the after. Okay.
Okay. So then that must mean Ptah in charge of that, not Asar. Did you catch that?
That means Ptah is in control of the afterlife, not Asar.
No, I'm saying Asar is control of the afterlife, so that means Ptah is control of your life right now.
Okay.
It's showing you Ptah represents your path. Ptah represents whenever you hit that octagon and you right there at a stop sign, that's Ptah. It just says stop. We don't see it like that. We got to move the words around. See, when you got your words put in front of you, it was dyslexia words. And then they said, this is how it's supposed to be written. I'm like, wait a minute. I see it different. Don't go by that. I ain't teach you that. So now you're going by how you supposed to have been taught, even though your memory tells you something totally different. When you look at Emit and it was in a mirror, Emit is time flipped around. So you got to see things on a different level, not just that one God level. You got to have three gods at least to start. Where's your past? Where's your present? Where's your near future? That's going to be in everything. Past, present, near future. And why do I say that? They got you put your hands up when it comes down to you going to jail, right? Before you go to jail, they go, put your hands up. Or if you kick the ball, right? And it's like, field goal. Well, how about those symbols represents the ka, the part of the person's soul that is of the part of the universe, soul and spirit that lives on after death, the life force, which is divine and personal, symbolized life-giving energy and universal spirit. So when you put your arms up, you don't know what you're doing.
And he knows you don't know what you're doing. So that's why he can, how you put your arm, you getting ready to give off your energy. Don't even know it. So let's go back to Asar, because that's what I wasn't finished there. All right, so I said he's the Netzer of the afterlife. So that means when you pass away, that's who you're going to go see. Now all these other people you talk about, oh, God, gone. Which God are you talking about? Because there's a bunch of them. All right, so now, symbol of the afterlife, the earth and the dead. Did you hear that?
The earth and the dead. I hear you, but
so
I don't. I'm still a student, so I hear you. But
it's okay. That's how we got to go through. We got to feed ourselves little by little so we can see what we're eating on. Now, he said the earth and the dead. So we talking about earth right now and those who think they living in the dead right now on the earth. Ain't that something? Ain't that called zombies? Okay.
Could that be the zombie apocalypse that we think we are in, but it's actually that?
And that's why you saw Ogre, right? I saw Ogre playing Tekken. I'm fighting with Jinkoshima and Chun and all these names I didn't know nothing of, Japanese form called Tekken. And Tekken represents the Tekkenu. I'm playing this game, and then this Ogre I got to fight at the end. I said, who is this big green dude? But this is who he is.
Came out of nowhere.
This is a car. Yeah. So he sat at the seat of judgment. Okay. That's why you got to fight him
at
the
end. So you want to invoke judgment, huh?
All right, now, here we go. While the souls of the dead were being weighed against the principles of my eye. So you was already being measured. You didn't know how you measured yourself. Because it's up to you doing the measurement. You can't say, I ain't worthy of nothing. I'm down and depleted. I'm broke. I'm broken. Those words will have you weighed down on the earth and feel dead. The dead.
They do that.
Dead.
Man, say. I'm going to tell you.
It's intentional. Yes. They have an intentional way of doing it. One of the oldest nectars of farming is fertility, harvest, and vegetation. That's what Asar will help you on. And to symbolize it, it will be help you with your cosmic power, your conception, and your eternity. We got a granddaughter in here named Eternity. I said, look at this. And they're throwing movies in where they're throwing Eternity. Yeah. I said, wait a minute now. Did y'all do that on purpose?
Eternity.
I love it.
Yeah. They know how to repeat the history that's not going to be a story. It's going to be a legend. They're not going to say, I don't like this brother, and, you know, he does so wrong. See, when they came up with these names, names is our men. When they came up with these names, they came up with the appellation of how you're going to be towards other people. They didn't think your interactions were going to be just as great as you thought it was. Yet, you created yourself, so how could you not think of this stuff being great? You see what I'm saying? So now, anything to make you doubt yourself. Make it feel like you don't have any power. Maybe feel
that's
powerless whenever situations are tough. Yeah, it's called fear.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you, bro. Yeah. You had to help me with that.
Yeah.
You had to say what it was.
Oh, yeah.
that's what we're here for.
I'm with you. Please know
all
I'm
right.
with you.
So now, we know Sekhmet. We also know Set. Set is like right next to Sekhmet. We heard of Sekhmet being the goddess of fire in her head, and her head to be the protector for her child. So that's why she went into that protection. Now, the only problem was, just like in Lock and Key, they had it shown that she drank herself to death. And so she had to face Asar in a different way. Asar would have to judge her now. Yet this is the symbolic what's going on in our babies and our mothers and our children, that the body parts are becoming deformity. When you put too much chile, C-H-I-L-E, it's just like chili. Chile is just like chili. If you put too much heat in your heaters, it'll burn itself out. So too much acid is just like anything else, it burns. That's why you see the predators. He used acetic acid shooting down stuff, and then they just burn up and disintegrate and be like, dang. It's always to the bone. But this is that reality inside our stomach. So there's a recent movie they just put out with Predator in it, but they ain't calling it Predator. I was like, yo, they going in already, and we don't even know. They could do Predator forever because it was always about seeing him invisible, now seeing him, and he deals with the heat absorbent to find you, and he's about taking your head and your tailbone out. I was like, what is all that about? Okay, so anyway, this is about Set, murder of his brother. All right, so he's a Nessus god as well. He dealt with the violence. The violence and, you know, the anger. So Seth came as a destruction, a power for between the good and the bad, and the counter of balance in order to get orderly through the universe. It's symbolized as destruction and is also symbolized as confusion and symbolized as chaos. So when we're thinking of Set, you got to be negative, you're just giving it off to Seth. Everybody got a certain type of energy they just want to give off. And because you got up as an energy, you giving off whether you think you win. You say, oh, I ain't got to do that. Okay, fine. Go and do the other side. And then that end up coming out. You wonder why I did that. All right, so the word Wajet, Wajet, W-E-D-J-A-T. This is known as the left eye of Heru. You got the right eye. The right eye basically goes towards your left hand. People don't know that, though. So symbolically, they're not thinking this is a crisscross, just like how you think of we gave birth to the woman when we didn't. Woman gave us birth. That's the crisscross. And so they crisscrossed us, had Jesus with their Mary, and Mary was supposed to be the one who gave Jesus life. Even though we say, well, a big giant, we're going to call an angel, went to the small body and gave another body another body. So now you're seeing what the giant, the dwarf, and the human in humankind is going through. The left eye of Heru is the lost in his fight. Was lost in his fight from Seth, then restored by Tahuti. The Wajet was worn as a pendant to ward off evil and to give the wearer protection. Now, we know the Wajet as basically whatever you're making and creating now. The symbol is healing, protection, and health. You're making and creating, and this making and creating, it has to have one, two, or three, or all three, or all none. Healing, protection, and health. Now, if your intent is not the intent that you're reading, that I just read to you, you are not using that eye. You're using the opposite eye. And, of course, for healing, it's also the destruction. For also the destruction, front of protection, is also destruction. And if you think of health, it still goes back to destruction. So, basically, you could be just destroying yourself with one eye. And you don't want to feel like because your parents left you, you attached to them. Right. Right. Come on, bro. Say it again.
You can get stuck in that if you allow
it. Yeah. That's the gravity. That's the grave. See, that's what they kept doing every year, and they said, oh, it's the holiday. And, oh, you don't like holidays. Somebody passed away during that holiday. So now all you're doing is thinking about them and their holiday. And now you use the child, C-H-I-L-E, also C-H-I-L-I, chili. When you're chilly, you want to eat something hot. Yet at the same time, when you break down stuff, your body turns to being cold. That bird is going in over here. and when that chili comes onto yourself, you're thinking the food is doing a great thing for you. However, it's taking you to a point where you can feel like you're comatose. That's called itis. And so the body breaks food down. The body breaks food down, but Seth is of destruction. However, because he's of destruction, he's not a bad guy. He actually has to take care of a pep. A pep is symbolized as the snake, a big cobra or anaconda or a python. Yeah, and he has to get rid of that snake that's inside of you. But the snake is your intestine, so he can't get rid of it. Only thing he can do is get what's in it out. And so he uses his rod.
Go ahead.
He uses his rod. No, okay. He uses his rod. I'm sorry. I be wanting to come in, too, and talk, too, so you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I'm here. He uses his rod.
I'm
going to
still keep
to
my place now.
All right.
So he uses his rod and gets rid of the waste. And where is that at mostly? In your waist. So if your stomach is not hard to the core, it's loose in the core. And now everything you think is hardcore. Because it's a reflection, it's a projection. So you have to actually start tightening your stomach up. Do some crunches, do some benches, do some leg lifts, do some leg backs, do some the butt kicks. Do all these things that you were taught in school, because that's when you love doing it. Then all of a sudden, because you thought it was a training mechanism, you don't like doing it no more. So now you don't do it. So now the body says, well, shoot, we're going to break down. And they'll be like, well, I guess we're going to, because they ain't doing nothing to fix it. So now let's go into chenoo. Chenoo is an oval-shaped tendon. It's used, and this chenoo, most people use it as a cartouche. It's a little different, but it's still the same. A cartouche is just like how you have somebody you buried them, and you need a gravestone, limestone, whatever combination. You're putting the actual minerals right next to their head. Anyway, you're putting that tombstone right next. That's called a chenoo, and the chenoo. It's just like Heron Shenron. It's the dragon. But it's in an oval shape. I didn't say circle, did I?
Or
talked about round
table. Or I've never seen one in an oval shape.
Triangle, square, circle. We always talk about that. Square.
Right.
This is an oval shape. So now this is of the ovular. This is of the obelisk. This is about a lot of things that we don't know about. Yeah, it's put in scribe. It's put in scripture and is engraved. So you could touch it, not even just say it, look at it. You can touch it, feel it, and see it. You can, if your eyes were blind, you feeling what to say without even seeing how to say it. That's how symbolically we were taught. See, when we're taught in school, they give you these books. By the age of 7, you're wearing glasses. That's the ovular. Ovular-shaped glasses. You're wearing the glasses. Because by 7, your eyes is crippled. You ain't got caught into 1 to 2 dimensions, and there's no shapes for you to touch nor feel. And yet they want you to learn all the way to 12th grade like that.
That's
why it's rich. All right, so now, it's an oval-shaped pendant used to write one's name. Prior to it, their attributes. And why did I say it like that? Because I felt like I need to express that. We say attributes.
I've never heard
your
you express
name.
Like that.
All right.
So
now.
That was very
the name, your name has a symbolic connection to you. So the symbols is the wound, the individual's personality, and what's encircling its protection. So if you ain't drew nothing, if ain't nobody draw nothing for you, I'm going to say that again. If nobody has drawn anything for you, they might have just put a spell on it, and they never told you. See, when you're into drawing, you're into spelling. You just didn't know it. They didn't tell you it was the same. See, when I start drawing, they say, your writing stinks, but your drawing is phenomenal. I'm like, wait a minute now. Ain't that the same thing? But then it got rid of handwriting and curvature, so they took that out so that now it will look like it stinks. Do you know when you was writing in handwriting cursive, you could phonetic that. You can make it to how you cursively want to write your S. It gave you more room for a freestyle. But if you notice, the words now are letters that's like a computer, and they want you to write like that. They got you same way with the Instagram, Facebook, whatever. You're putting stuff that's up there that's not your font. So now it's not you writing it. Yet, if you start writing it, it's going to look like how you did on Etching Sketch. The Etching Sketch, you know the Etching Sketch. You got the little two nubs on it, and you turn it left and right, and that's how you go diagonal up, diagonal left.
Yeah.
You couldn't just go straight left, diagonal. You couldn't go straight right, diagonal. You had to go diagonal block left. So this is where the grid of our lives and livelihood, like the chessboard, like the checkers, went from checkers to chess. See, when it went from checkers to chess, they show how you can skip all around the board, and they didn't tell you how the positions are played when you get to that level. Only the intelligent will learn.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to grasp the rules.
I want to share something with you. They cut us off at the top of the hour, but they still allow.
Oh,
cool. These are the trickery that's being played right now. They've been cut us off at the top of the hour, but we still talking. So we thinking that we're talking, but this last hour is going to be lost for the audience. But I hear you though.
Dang.
It needs to be just me and you in this last hour. Okay.
That's deep, bro. That's deep.
That's
you know,
deep.
And when it
That's
cut off,
deep. We got cut off at 2 hours.
Yeah.
So
when they cut you off. Yeah, no, it's just facing our own realities, bro. Like Truman Show was the bomb. It was the bomb, bro. It woke me up. Like I couldn't stop thinking about that. Then when they made a Bruce Almighty, I said, okay, come on, we ain't done yet. So when they said the creator was creating, we creating our own stuff. We ain't got to keep going by that creator creating. You know what I'm saying? So all the things that we can put out there, play your flute, play your drums, play whatever that is that's inspiring you because it's giving you the inspiration to keep moving forward. I got right now, I got my paintings outside right now. One of the paintings I did of Professor Griff, I got him with the ratchet in his hand. I got the crook and the flail in his hand, one in the left, one in the right. And I'm in that expression of conscious PE, physical education. Now, I know I went to Planet, Conscious Planet. That was a planet physical form that had to come out. Now, I got to stay away from there so they can build itself. Not with me disturbing what I just done because it's not me.
Really?
It wasn't me in the first place. So I had to come in here to where I'm at market wellness. Yeah. And that's 8 years. Mm-hmm. 8 years of finally saying, dang, I can finally let go. At the same time, I feel some anxiety, depression, and you know what I mean? Like, I want to go back. I want to see how they're doing. You want to see the progress. But you're going to end up seeing how you would want it. So that's my ego. So I said, oh, smack that ego. Don't come over there. Let them do what they're supposed
to. I personally think that you would be a better owner for yourself, you know?
And that's the steps I'm working towards. That's the steps I'm working. Like, I see the hang-ups
you
between
need to own
stores that don't be right. Well, what I'm seeing right now is the hang-up between the good and the bad, the conflict between federal and public. Like, how is it that I can have a store where the public ain't dealing with the federal like they be doing? Because I see this all the time, no matter whether I'm in this store or that store. And how they get their money is not how I like to see it happen. So I'm looking at what's the finesse behind it before I just run out there and got my head out there and got my body attached to it. And I can do that all the time.
Yeah.
I done did it when I was there. I left that whole spot going to Georgia. Yeah. And I had like at least 1,000 on me. And I said, yeah, I'm going to use this $1,000 to blah, blah, blah. And then went down a hole. And 3 days I had to come on back like Jesus. I said, dang. Now I got to restart all the way over. And so that was like what I had to go through. You know what I'm saying? Because we might not be completely ready. And you got to have a good squad that you with if you're going to do that. Don't just have a rinky-dinky squad. Don't have no half-timers. Don't have them people that say,
people.
I'm going to jump in the water with your full force. And then as soon as they get their feet wet, I got to go.
Yeah.
I thought you said full force. Some things came up. I got some things to do. I got to. All right, see you later. Dang, bitch. You can't even change it. It's done. It's set. So when we look at debt, there's temporary debt that certain people are putting, but we call it temporal debt. And when those temporal debts are coming, there's the collector. Somebody got to be the collector. Mm-hmm. They're going to Ampu coming in the room. Ampu going to be the one who saw everything happening. So he's going to be the collector. He's going to be, how they say, the pallbearer. They're going to be putting people in the ground. Yet he's going to be actually looking to see where your judgment of yourself is at value. Did you weigh yourself yet? Okay, well, if you haven't, I'm going to bring you over here to the scales. And that's where the baboon going to see where you at. The baboon going to check you out symbolically. Where your symbols at? Where your symbols at? Did you grab a hump while you was there in the physical?
Did you
get somebody to make one for you? Did you draw it? Did you do any of those things? that make you protected. Anything to protect yourself before you say, oh, I'm protected. How? What'd you do to make yourself protected? Did you take a bath? What'd you do? Some of us have been living in the necromancy so long that we said death is inviting. So we invite death full force without realizing death is right next door to you all the time.
Full force.
Shoot. 2 seconds from now. A second within a second. A millisecond of a second. So now, don't be afraid of death. Don't be afraid of fear. Don't be afraid of these things. That's called afraid. It's AF with the raid energy. So when it raises up in you, remember, you AF. AF represents off. AF represents fra or fa. Fa in reverse. Add the R, you hear ra. Fa ra. Pharaoh. You're the pharaoh of yourself. How you been pharaohing out anything? Arrowing out anything? Narrowing out anything? Barrowing out anything? That's what a bow, the bow, the bow, how you bow to the dog. The dog bows to you. The dog bow to you. The dog don't bow to you. You don't need to be bound to the dog. Okay? You don't know he a canine. You don't know he got a higher ability. Don't keep bowing down and not look at you and look at him. Don't keep putting your head down and not see who you bowing down to. Because when you bowing down, you ain't bowing down to him. To be honest, you bowing down to yourself. People who bow are bowing to themselves. And because people don't acknowledge themselves, they don't bow back. That's all.
All right.
I'm going to stop with
that. Well, you I appreciate you as always. And,
next weekend,
and, of course, we'll be in touch in the middle. I love the 7 Ballmer videos you've been sending me. So I've been listening to a lot of your last recent ones. So I appreciate what you're
sending as well. And can you catch that, man? He be saying stuff that I just said. I be like, get the freak out of it. I just said that.
Yeah, bro.
He's like, we ain't on no plane together. We ain't talk nowhere on nothing. But he be picking up the juice and then carry it.
You know, I was going to say that I love when he goes outside of the box. That.
Come on.
When he goes outside of the
imagination
box, that is what I appreciate the most from him.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes,
I like
brother.
That. That's the finesse. I need that finesse. Yeah. Everybody needs some kind of finesse in their life. It could be boring.
I'm learning how to re-channel that finesse because mine hasn't been that healthy. So, it can get boring. All right.
Yeah, if the child look at you and you're boring, we got to do something. If the child don't want to be around you, we got to do some waking up here. You're separated from the child.
Do you know I was going to, like, I was in the spiritual, like, at the beginning of this, the kids looked at me, and the kids looked, I was still fucking up, and the kids looked at me and was like, where you finna go? And I knew in that moment that,
you can't
if
even
that,
escape.
That
they watch you the whole time. Yeah. That right there, it's profound for me to look at right, be right, do all the right and the left. Because the child is going to see you, and they're going to project better than you.
Yep. Better than you. Because it's like you can't deny it. You can't lie.
Right.
Even though you do lie.
Oh, there we go. Come on.
Even though you do lie, because I lie, but the kids knew because they don't ask me for nothing but snacks. Nothing but snacks.
That's right.
That's all they ask. But
that
day,
see where your mind at.
They asked me where I was going.
Now does a snack kill them or they help them and they're going to remember you for it?
They That's the only thing they ask for me, snacks.
You said, you gave me death. Remember you gave me that red, number 40? You got red number 40. I didn't even know you read the back of the ingredient. Yeah, you gave me death right in the beginning. Snap. I'm part of that now. You better stop being responsible. Here, you can have candy. I know your mama ain't supposed to give it to you, but I'm giving it. Wait a minute now. You might want to learn that on that side. Is it balanced? Is just you protecting that child or you giving it death? You giving it death? Then you heard the ampoo side, didn't know how you stop the body up, and now you got to change your rod up.
What?
You got to learn how to now.
Look,
that.
One thing at a time. One thing
right,
at
rod
a time.
And a snake.
Did I hear
Yeah, it's called a rod and a snake. You hear me? Rod and a snake. One is straight, right? That's the rod.
Right.
And the one is shaped. You got different shapes. Change. That's the snake. So if you put the rod and the snake together, you're going to create more than what is seen. And you won't even have to say nothing. It just be because you're going to pass, bro. You're going to Ptah. Yeah,
what's
come on.
The name of that
Every time
symbol?
You put it up. The Caduceus.
Yes.
They call it the Caduceus.
The Medusa?
They got the RNA, the DNA. They got a physician symbol up there. They done made that the 13th zodiac. They said, oh, this is the highest realm. No, it ain't. They said that to make you stop right there. Oh, that's the highest realm. That's all we got to go. No. You done heard the sound to infinity and beyond. What does that mean? You just going to stop in infinity? He said, and beyond. Yeah, listen, you got to hear
it's
what he
trick.
Said. He said, go further. I ain't tell you stop. But, hey, if you get caught into the trick, then you went and stop right there with your lemon. Yeah.
There it is.
You get lemon.
All right.
Make lemonade.
All righty, Twin, I appreciate you. Now, we'll chat.
Yes, because if we keep going, we're going to keep going. Yeah, the 20th to the 21st, I had no idea. We just ran into a new constellational thing, and I was already ahead of it, talking about it earlier yesterday and stuff. It's now happening. So that was the reason why I had to say it earlier, so that while people were not even paying attention, it can now be done. It's already done. It's already written.
Yeah.
We're in scripts. We're in the co-op now. Now scripture happening. You know, that's why eternity is eternity. I said, oh, man, this baby is eternity. This is the second baby I ran with this name, and it's off of the spirit that I was carrying. Not to say that I wanted to have this baby, not saying she wanted to have it or he wanted to have it. The name was put there to be in similarity of the sons that we are pharaohs. And you know you're a pharaoh, you're doing a pharaoh's work. Okay. All right. And on that note.
We here. We'll go.
Yeah.
All right. We'll
I say.
I say.
I say, oh, respect.
I say, oh.